Today's readings are a continuation from the book of Revelations and the eschatological discourse in Luke's gospel. Of course, these have been going on for the first part of the week, but I wasn't here to speak about them. So if somebody else already gave you a homily on this, feel free to fall asleep. However, if they didn't give you a homily, here's a quick thought that, you know, to bear in mind when you're reading the eschatological discourse. That's the end time discourse that's at the very end of each of the Gospels, Mark, Synoptic Gospels, Mark and Matthew and Luke. And you notice in these eschatological discourses, there's two parts to it. The first is actually the judgment of Jerusalem, judgment of the kingdom of Israel. And the next part of it is really the judgment that comes at the end of the world. So there's actually two parts to it. We've already seen the first part, and here is the offshoot of it is the judgment of Jerusalem. So what's going to happen? And we hear this right here. Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem, right? Almost a prelude to what he's going to predict will happen, right? That because Jerusalem does not recognize the person, namely Jesus, and the time, namely the Kairos, of his coming right into their midst, right? The time of their vindication. Because of that, the whole old order, the whole order of the temple of Jerusalem will be brought down. So you'll notice in the first part of the eschatological discourses, right, that, you know, there's the prediction of the destruction of the temple. And not only the prediction of the destruction of the temple, but its replacement by Jesus. And of course, Jesus now is going to become the new universal temple. And the idea, right, that, you know, destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days, right? The idea is, John explains this is the temple of his body, but we see in the Synoptic Gospels, right, in Gospel of Matthew, right, we see that Jesus is going to become this new universal temple in his body. And St. Paul does not fail to pick up the implications of this, that Jesus is, the body of Christ is the unifying spiritual force. The very risen body of Christ is the unifying spiritual force through which the Holy Spirit is going to course not only through the church, though certainly the church in this earth, but the entire kingdom, right? So the kingdom, you know, that's going to include the communion of saints, Jesus is unifying it all through his body. So the first part of the eschatological discourse, it sounds dire because, of course, Jerusalem is going to get it and the temple is going to be destroyed and the old order is going to be destroyed. But Jesus, the good side is, of all that destruction, though this is a terrible thing and Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, right, in compassion, right, the good side is Jesus is going to become a universal temple. Not just located in Jerusalem, but a temple for everyone, a temple for people in heaven, a temple for people on the earth, a temple that unifies everything into the church and the communion of saints. And that's the good side of it. And because of that, we can all make intercession for one another. What does that mean? We are a kingdom of priests. That is to say, you are not, you know, participating in the ministerial priesthood of Christ, but you are absolutely participating in the universal priesthood of Christ. Every single one of you are priests. This is not just apparent in the first letter of Peter, where it's very explicit, but it's also apparent in today's readings and several of them in the book of Revelations. And of course, we can see that the responsorial psalm, which is not, you know, the antiphon from the responsorial psalm is not a psalm, but it's an antiphon that was made to repeat the antiphonal song in the book of Revelations, right? That the Lamb, and of course the Lamb is Jesus Christ, right? The Lamb has made us a kingdom of priests to serve our God. The antiphon brings it out. You are priests. You make intercession for one another. You make intercession through your suffering. You make intercession through your prayers. You make intercession, right, by participating in the kingdom of God. And whatsoever you do that is holy and righteous will bring good into the kingdom by your doing it. You're a priest in that sense. And of course, everything, right, that we do by way of prayer and by way of suffering, right, a la St. Therese of Lisieux, Paul's letter to the Colossians, right, we see that, it all affects everybody, just as a priest can affect through intercession, right, can bring the grace of God into the midst of others. A universal priesthood is created because Jesus is the universal temple in his risen body who unifies us all together. It has been done through the blood of the Lamb. And of course, this is the one worthy to open the scroll, to break open its seals, to reveal that we are priests for one another, and in that priesthood make intercession for one another, can offer our sufferings for one another, and be blessed for one another. Love, the instrument of love for one another throughout the whole of eternity through the unconditional love of God. This is the good news that comes out of the destruction of the temple in the first part of the eschatological discourse. You get the second part tomorrow. Amen.